Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is God's word. But know this, hard times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid these people. For among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women overwhelmed by sins and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also resist the truth. They are men who are corrupt in mind and worthless in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all, as was the foolishness of Jannes and Jambres. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It is not comforting to be told things are about to get worse. What we like to hear is somebody saying, "Oh, don't worry, things are going to get better." Well, let me tell you, the good news is, ultimately, things are going to get better. That is absolutely true. But before they do, things are going to get worse. And we need to know that. We need to know the truth because, folks, we don't want to be unprepared. We don't want to be blown about by every wind of doctrine because we just embrace whatever is appealing to our emotions. God's word tells us there are difficult times ahead. Hard times will come in the last days. And the reason for the hard times is because of human sinfulness. I mean, when he says hard times will come in the last days, he then follows that with a description of what causes the hard times. and the hard times spring from the human heart. Look at it. For people will be lovers of self. I heard a preacher say that you can't really love other people unless you love yourself. The Bible says we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So if we don't love ourselves, we can't love our neighbor. Okay, there's actually a grain of truth in that. But it's a grain, okay? The fact of the matter is, most people don't have a hard time giving themselves the credit that they deserve. Okay? That's not where most of us struggle. You know? We are by nature lovers of self. And the problem is that creates all manner of difficulty. If you live your life loving yourself, selfishly trying to get all you can in order to be sure you get your way and you get what you want, and everybody else is there basically to serve you, you're going to be miserable. You are not following Jesus, who took a towel and washed his disciples' feet and said, "Now this is the way you're to treat one another." But if you live your life focused on serving others out of a desire to serve and please him, there will be joy all along the way. Because let me tell you, there are always opportunities to serve. There are always needs to be met. There are always people who are in desperate need of love. So, the problem that's coming is that people will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Fortunately, we have not gotten there in our culture. Boastful, proud, demeaning. And then here comes, I know you find it hard to believe, but in the last days, there are going to be terrible times because there will even be people who are disobedient to parents. Now again, it's kind of like lovers of money. We don't have that in our culture. But imagine, hey, kids, this applies to you. This isn't just a list of grown-up sins. Selfishness is not just something that's obnoxious in older people. Okay? And disobedient to parents is right in the list, along with ungrateful. Everybody just examine your own heart. Are you really grateful or are you ungrateful? Unholy. To be holy means set apart. To be unholy means, I just live like everybody else. I just try to fit in. Unloving. When we consider what God has done for us, how can we not share his love with others? Irreconcilable means that we just completely refuse to be reconciled. No matter what, you know, well, what would it take in order to... No way. There is no way that I will ever allow that person to be reconciled with me. If that's your attitude, you're not behaving like Jesus. Now, there are some people that it is appropriate to say, I can't continue to have fellowship with that person. Absolutely. There is a reference to that right here in this passage. Verse 5 concludes with, avoid these people. Avoid these people. So it's not saying, no matter what anybody does, you got to be chums. But what it's saying is, be willing to be reconciled if there's repentance. Is that clear? So, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is self-control. If you're not displaying self-control, that's an indication that you need to be filled with the Spirit. You don't just need self-control, you need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. because the Holy Spirit will produce self-control in your life. They will be brutal, without love for what is good. They won't even approve it. They'll mock it. We're seeing that in our day, certainly. Traitors, reckless, conceited. And then check this out. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that define our day? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Holding to the form of godliness, but denying its power. I mean, they may keep lots of rules, but they do not yield themselves to the power of God's Spirit. I grew up from birth in church. My dad was a pastor. And I mean, from my earliest days, I was in church. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and any other time that there was something going on at the church. I was there. And I saw some of the sweetest, godliest, spiritual people that have lived on the planet. I mean, just absolutely magnificent witnesses for Christ. And I saw some of the phoniest, baloniest, crummiest, scandalous, pharisaical people that have ever lived on the planet. The church had both. And this church, where Timothy was pastor, had both. I got to tell you, this is a lovely crew. If you're sitting there saying, boy, I hope he's not talking about me. No, I'm not. This is a lovely group. Okay? It's really small. But I want you to understand something. This is not a new problem. There have always been folks who hang out in religious circles because it's a power trip. I mean, if that's your nature, if the reason you love to learn more is so that you can show what you know, yeah, you're on the wrong train. Okay? You're headed in the wrong direction. If the reason you want to learn is because you want to know the Lord better, that's great. And this passage talks about that. The purpose of studying the Scriptures is so that you might trust Christ. I mean, the whole goal is to deepen your relationship with Him. It's not so that you can have an encyclopedic knowledge of all kinds of trivia. Quick, Janice and Chambers, where are they found in the Scriptures? Right here. Okay? So
there's got to be someplace in the Old Testament.
Not by name. Paul cites the names of two guys whose names don't appear anywhere in the Bible, except right here, when Paul cites them. Did you know that? I had to look it up. Okay? But they were real people, right? Well, yes, apparently so. But they were legendary in Jewish literature as having been Egyptian magicians who stood against Moses when he was doing God's will in Egypt.
Oh.
So Timothy, having grown up as a student of the Scriptures and the other religious writings, would know who Jannes and Jambres were. And other people who were familiar with Jewish writings would know that. But it's not because they're named in the Old Testament. That's the sort of thing you can learn if you have an internet. But let me tell you, nobody is going to get saved by knowing that. And the only reason that those guys get their names mentioned in this passage is because Timothy is in a situation where there are people causing trouble in his church. They are false teachers. They do not love God. They are not doing the will of God. And it's making things difficult for Timothy. And so Paul says to him, look, the fact that they're phony is going to come to light. Don't worry about it. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, you shouldn't feel badly that you're being resisted by some of these false teachers. But their falseness is going to come to light. God's going to expose it. There were people, imagine this, if you're a pastor and there were people in the church who were not only teaching false doctrine, but using their innovative teaching as a way to try and seduce some of the church members. To lead church members into immorality by building relationships with them based on the fact that they're telling things that the pastor doesn't seem to know. What do you do when that happens? Well, you do what he tells Timothy to do. Okay? You realize that eventually the truth will come out. Eventually the truth comes out. Among them are those who worm their way into households and deceive gullible women, overwhelmed by sins and led astray by a variety of passions, always learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Is that a description? Always learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I know people who've gotten so many degrees, as others have said, they're like thermometers. Okay? There's lots of degrees, but never come to a knowledge of the truth. Never able to see it. And yet I've known children who get it. Let me just tell you. If you want to know the truth, God will make the truth known to you. I don't worry that, oh no, what if we get into a conversation and it's, you know, beyond what I know. No, it's not beyond what God knows. I mean, it's not like, you know, boy, if I don't know the answers, this is going to sink the ship here. No. God will do whatever it takes to show the truth to anybody who wants to know the truth. But if your response to the truth is to say, no, not right now, rather not hear that, please, no, please, leave me alone. We can deal with this later, another time perhaps. Then there's no guarantee you're ever going to come to a knowledge of the truth. So, these folks were always learning, never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And there were men in the church with corrupt mind and worthless in regard to the faith. They'll not make further progress, for their foolishness will be clear to all. But you, verse 10, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. Yes, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Now, there is a false doctrine that permeates our culture as far as evangelical culture, church culture. And basically, that false view is that if I do the right thing, it will go well for me. Okay? If I tell the truth, I'll get a promotion. If I work hard, I'll always have a job. If I eat right and exercise, I will enjoy good health. If I am kind to others, they will be kind to me. And sometimes it works out like that. But sometimes if you tell the truth, you get fired. And sometimes if you work hard, people just take advantage of you, like they do if you're kind. Not only that, but you will find that like Joseph of old, sometimes people will lie about you and you will go to prison for something you didn't do. Well, that's not fair, is it? No. But life is often not fair. And if you do what you're supposed to do, sometimes you'll be like the Apostle Paul. And there will be suffering. And if we are faithful to preach the whole counsel of God, we've got to tell people that. that sometimes when you do the right thing, you will pay a high price. That's just the way it works out. And if we don't tell you that, then when it happens to you, you're going to feel lied to. You know why? Because you were. So let's tell the truth. God says, verse 12, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Sooner or later, it's going to cost you. Okay? That doesn't mean every day of your whole life you spend in a prison in Turkey. It does mean that if over and over when faced with a decision, you base your behavior not on what looks like it'll turn out well for you, but based on what God says about how we should live, the consequence will be suffering, will be opposition, will be rejection, will be, at times, persecution. Jesus did not say, take up your cushion and follow me. Okay? He said, take up your cross. It's not a piece of jewelry. It's something to die on. Take up your cross and follow me. So, he says, what persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you've known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of the scripture is to point you to him and teach you to trust him. If you trust Jesus, you're going to be saved. If you don't trust Jesus, you will not be saved. There are only two alternatives. You're either in the ark or you're in the flood. You're either alive in Christ or the wrath of God remains on you. Those are the two options. Then verse 16 and 17, all scripture. There aren't good parts and bad parts, okay? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. When it says inspired, that means God breathed. God breathed the scriptures. It is filled with his life, filled with his power. And it's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. That's what a pastor's supposed to do with his Bible. He's supposed to use it to teach. Well, I like that. I'd like to go to a Bible study and have somebody teach me. I know there are things that I could learn. And for rebuking. Now, wait a minute. God's word in Scripture sometimes just enlightens us. We say, oh, I never saw that before. Sometimes, however, it rebukes us. And Scripture teaches us not only to correct what we've been doing, but to practice it. It's a matter of training. So that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's intention for you is to perfect you. He's doing what needs to be done so that when we see him face to face, we will, as he promised, be like him. That's the plan.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org.